time of doing something different. Normally we'll take a book or something and we'll look very detailed at it. But we've been challenged that God wants us to take a look at the Bible in a whole, to see what the storyline of the Bible is, to see the big picture. And it's interesting, you can dive into a book and kind of read that one book and not realise how it fits into the story as a whole. Several places, especially in the Old Testament, you've got two or three books telling you the same thing, only with a slightly different emphasis, some of them written at similar times. And if you read them from Genesis onwards, it's not necessarily in the chronological order. We thought that would be something that would be useful if we now try to take a look at this big picture. We've got 14 weeks to do the Bible. As you can imagine, even with 14 preachers, we can't cover every single thing in the Bible. Certainly not even every single book. When we were deciding this was a good idea, Ian said, who fancies sorting this out? And foolishly I said yes. And I've gone through this process of not so much what must I put in, it's what can I actually leave out. And to try and do this to make some sense, I've decided to look at the Bible as if it was a play. So we'll be looking at Act 1, creation, Act 2, the fall, Act 3, the story of Israel, Act 4, Jesus, and Act 5, the church. But I hope you'll bear with us as a preaching team, because I have asked our preachers quite a big task. There'll be some very big chunks of scripture, quite often more than one book to get a preach out of. We hope it will whet your appetite to want to delve into the passages and the books that we're looking at the time. And I would encourage you, I know not everybody can make it every week, but if you do miss a week, the preachers are online on the web, so go and check them out, because it will give you a good picture, or at least we hope it will. Now, I have what should be a reasonably easy start to the series, and that I'm starting at the beginning. I'm looking at Act 1, creation. And I'm looking at Genesis chapters 1 and 2, which is quite likely for me if you're looking at some of the passages the other guys have got. Now, Genesis is believed to have been written by Moses. And approximately, if you look at a lot of the references, somewhere between 1450 and 1410 BC. We realise it's not an eyewitness account. Moses doesn't come along until the next book in the Bible, Exodus. But we can be confident that it's God-breathed scripture. Now, it's not long ago that our lovely preaching team did a short series on the start of Genesis. So I'm going to cheat. Last week I spent some time listening to those preachers. So I am actually going to draw out some highlights from what they said. I'm going to refer you back to them and remind you that they are on the web, and you can still check them out when you've got 20 minutes to spare of an evening. You can just check out one of these preachers. And it was back in September that Martin started our journey. And in a complete contrast to what we're now saying we're going to do, Martin spoke on Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, for his entire preach. I'm not going to repeat all of it. I will read those two verses then. In which case, I might as well read them. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface with the watery depth, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Martin was very keen to highlight that God was there first. He said some people can look at the Bible and think it's the story of earth, and it's centered on earth. It's not, it's centered on God. God was there before anything else. He created the heavens and the earth. God created with purpose and with love. God chose to create everything. And it's such a simple statement. God created the heaven and the earth. But then if we look at the galaxy we live in, some scientists have estimated the galaxy is spinning at 490,000 miles per hour. Even faster than Ian Fleming. I don't know how they've come to that calculation, but I just can't get my head around that speed. But even at that amazing speed, it would take 200 million years to do one rotation. I think James said a little earlier, a child can probably get their head around that far better than we can. It's just, how do you come to terms with something so big and so amazing? Some other scientists, and I don't know how they work this out, say that the number of stars in creation is equal to the number of grains of sand on all the beaches in the world. Now, next time you're at the beach, get a handful of sand and see if you can count how many grains are in that. It's just that is, how do you get your head around it? Unless you have that childlike belief. But this complex set of spinning stars function remarkably well, efficiently. And I've been thinking about it. I think it must take as much, if not more, faith to think that the universe happened by accident than it actually does to believe there's a creator. A creator God who created the universe and everything else. And a question that Martin asked in that first preach was, do you want a relationship with that almighty creator God? Because he desires one with you. And I still find that astonishing that the God who created absolutely everything and is yet that interested to have a relationship with each and every one of us. I'm also reminded that if we look at, don't worry about putting up, I've got it here, but 1 John 1-3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. We can see that Jesus was there at the beginning. Somebody picking up the Bible might think Jesus didn't come along till, start of the New Testament. But no, he was there at the beginning. It's showing us the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, the three in one, there at the very beginning, before anything. Somehow Martin got a double header because he came back the next week. And he was actually expanding his talk then from Genesis 1, verses 1 to 25. And it was entitled, God Created All Things. Now, Martin has actually said there are two easy ways to know about God's creation. The first is to sit outside of an evening and look at the stars. And on a warm evening as the stars start to come out. I'd encourage you to do that if you haven't, especially if you've got children. Just sit and look. It is amazing. And if, like Barney, you have a telescope, you can see the planets and beyond. Martin also said that even easier is to open the Bible and look in Genesis. So we're going to look at one of the verses, or one bit that Martin really felt to highlight was verses 2 and 3. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was stars. Maybe it had come along till later. He was saying that it's God's light, the light of God. And that makes me think, well, does that sound familiar? If we look in John 8, verse 12, when Jesus spoke again, he said to the people, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Martin urged us that when we look at the rest of that creation story, to look at the specifics that God had created, the care he'd taken to prepare an environment for man, a place to meet all his needs, a place where man could thrive. And at the end of each of those verses, God looked and said it was good. What God created was good. Now, I told you some of the things that were created in those verses not that long ago. What else? What else was created? This? Yep. We've got light, which then turned into night and day, and James has come up with this. What else? Yep. Land and seas, yep. Anything other than two? Animals? Yep. Yep. Plants, birds, trees. You were listening. I would encourage you, if you've got a time, just to listen to those creatures. I'm doing a very quick overview here, but they have drawn out a lot of very good stuff, and it is good to remind yourself. After Martin, it was Ian who came along. And Ian spoke on the image of God. He'd taken us further into Genesis 1 by looking at verses 26 to 31. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the animals and all the earth, and all the creatures that crawl on the earth. So God created man in his own image, and created him in the image of God. He created the male and female. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth. God also said, look, I have given you every seed bearing plant on the surface of the entire earth, and every tree and fruit containing seed. Your food will be for you, for all the wildlife of the earth. For every bird of the sky, and for every creature that crawls on the earth, and everything having breath and life in it. I have given every green plant and food, and so it was. God saw that all he had made, and it was very good. Evening came, and the morning came on the sixth day. Now, Ian highlighted a lot of things. One thing he did point out was that different Christians interpret Genesis in different ways. Some people think it's literal, others don't. He encouraged us that it didn't really matter as long as we didn't fall out over it. It's okay to believe which version you want, and that's fine, just don't argue about it. He also pointed out how the New Testament writers refer to Genesis, and that we need to take that into account when we're deciding what we think. He also asked the question, God made mankind in his own image. What does that mean? I wonder what you think. He pointed out that man was above other creatures. He was therefore told to name all the other creatures. Man was given responsibility to look after God's creation. Man was given all the qualities of God, including love, compassion, creativity. But he was also given the need for relationship. First with God, who walked with him in the garden, but also for a partner in Eve. We know it goes wrong for Adam and Eve at the fall, but we have the benefit of Jesus, who came to show us God and to show us the way back to God. I think the encouraging thing is, if you give your life to Jesus, the more time you spend with him, the more you behave like him, the more you behave like you're made in the image of God. After Ian, can you remember who it was, Tim? No, it was James. James came along, and he had a massive passion for people. He had Genesis 2 verses 1 to 3. And I will just go through those verses. I've got them here, I've got them. Thus the heavens and the earth were complete in all of their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work creation he had done. Now James asked, what does rest look like for you? And that's something since I took the time, and I actually found I've been able to do more. He also talked about Shabbat, or the Sabbath rest, to stop and rest every seventh day. He encouraged us very much to try and do that, even in our busy lives. He asked if the society we live in now sees rest as important. I'd even go as far to say that some of society would say resting is a waste of time. James pointed out that the Sabbath was a gift from God. We can all try and take rest from our busy lives. I was just wondering, those of you who were here when James preached, how's that gone for you? Anybody had lots of success with that? Anybody actually feel that they're a better place than they were? Not a lot of hands on that. I definitely would suggest we go back and listen to James' talk. I know Lisa and I have, joking aside, we have tried to start doing that. Actually setting a day aside and saying, okay, we're not going to put anything in. This is going to be a day of rest. It's not always easy. And one or two things will crop up, but certainly when we've been able to do it, we have found it very useful, very restful. And if we can get plenty of time to spend in God's word, it really is a fruitful rest of time. So Tim followed along after that, and he spoke on Genesis 2, verses 4 to 25. Don't worry about putting those up tomorrow. There'll be a break if I read all of them. Oh, I have picked some highlights out, though, you'll be pleased to know. So, Tim pointed out that God created us. So, I just want to read a few verses for that. So, if we look at verse 7, then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And we then move to 21 and 22. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs, and then closed up a place with flesh. And the Lord God made a woman from the rib who was taken from the man, and brought her to the man. So man and woman were created. That means we're part of God's creation as well. sometimes I don't think we always remember that. Tim also said God created a place for us to live and a purpose. We look at verses 8 and 9. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees to grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work in it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from anything in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die." So Eden was created. A perfect place to live with everything you could want. And they were told to just look after it. That was their job. Have you considered that you're in the place that God wants you to be? He's not telling you to move. You're in exactly the place God wants you to be. Like that, he's got a job for you to do there as well. We're called to take care of God's creation. And that doesn't just mean the planet, that means the people on it. So wherever you are and the people around you, they're the ones you're meant to be taking care of. One of the things Tim said that I really liked was that God provided food for the body. But through the beauty of creation, he provided food for the soul. How many of us just love being out in the countryside? How uplifting is life? Of course, it's the creation that you're part of. You feel at one with it. Tim again emphasized that Adam was put in the garden to work, to look after the garden. Again, having that work role to do. You're working for God. You're really quickly, you're working for God. Somebody else might be paying you, but you're working for God. Just want to have a quick look at verse 18. The Lord God said, "It's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." We're not meant to be alone. We are designed for relationships. First with God, and then for other people. The extroverts amongst us find that very easy. The introverts amongst us, not so easy. But we are all still designed for relationships. And quite often when we're searching for something, we think there's something missing. That something is relationship with God. That's what we're missing, the relationship with God. We've got a note to read verse 25. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. I remember Tim got quite excited about the naked, but I'm not really sure why. But what Tim just brought out of that was, they were naked in front of God, but they felt no shame. They were confident in who they were. And I think our Western culture has done so much damage in telling lies about how we should look. We worry how much about what people think. Do we look right? Do we fit in? And I think one of the things we need to understand is, unless we love ourselves, how can we truly love somebody else? God loves us for how we are, who we are, what we look like. If we can do the same, we can love others. looking at the time at this point, I think it's where I thank all these other preachers for putting all their hard work in. We are stopping the story at the end of Act 1. God has created the heavens and the earth and everything in them. God has created man and woman, and they have everything they could ever want or need. Even though they are naked in the presence of God, they are comfortable in who they are. How does that sound to you? Does it sound good? Is that somewhere you'd like to be? You see, if you lived in the most beautiful garden you can imagine, you had everything you could ever need, you were made estate managers and custodians of and all the other animals, fish, birds, insects, plants. Even better than that, you get to walk with the amazing Creator God in the cool of the garden. Why? Because He is the Creator God. And His desire to have a people set apart to worship Him. How much would all this cost? Nothing. Free. But God didn't want a group of mindless robots. So He gave them free will. He gave us free will. They could choose to love and worship Him and to follow His instructions or not. What could possibly go wrong? That's for next week. But just remember, we still have that same choice every day. We can choose to do it our way, or we can choose to do it the way the Heavenly Father tells us. We can have a life for everything we need. We can have a peace that passes understanding. We can have a relationship with that Creator God. And the more we press into Him, the more time we spend with Him, deeper that relationship becomes. The more in His image we grow, the more in His image we are seen by people around us, the more the light of the world shines, that people see the image of God in us. And I know that's astonishing, I know that's amazing, but then again, so is creation. And it's all free. We just have to choose it and walk in it. Heavenly Father, I thank You that You are that amazing Creator God, that You designed and created everything in the universe down to the most minute detail. Might be you. And I thank You that Robin knows what he's doing, Heavenly Father. Yeah, Heavenly Father, I just thank You that you created everything to the minute detail. You created us. And You chose to desire a relationship with each other. You still have that desire, even when we get it wrong. You welcome us back, Heavenly Father. And You use us to show Your creation to people, to show Your love to people. And we pray that You will show us how to work in the communities that we are known, so people do see the image of You, Heavenly Father, see Your love, Your kindness. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that You will empower us to step out wherever we are, whatever community, thank You. Give us the opportunity, and I pray You'll